At the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah tells about what we're supposed to do when we have Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says here, the Mishnah tells us that in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to blow the shofar even when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. Aval lo ba-Medina, but not in the Medina. Now, what exactly is the Medina? What does it mean? You only blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash as opposed to the Medina. I would have said Beis HaMikdash is the only place you blow shofar. As we spoke about last week, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, because we assume the Kohanim are there, no one's going to make a mistake, no one's going to fall and do the wrong thing. So therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, you have nothing to be concerned about, and therefore we blow shofar there. However, outside the Beis HaMikdash, where we don't have people like the Kohanim roaming around, we're concerned, somebody is going to make a mistake, they're going to carry the shofar, Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRam, they're going to violate the Isser of Hotzah, and therefore we assume that the shofar is not allowed to be blown on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this is a very controversial statement. How do you translate the word Medina? When you say that in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, however, not in the Medina, what exactly does the Medina mean? So Rashi over here writes that means what it says. It means only in the Beis HaMikdash proper, but anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even in the old city of Yerushalayim, but it's not the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we assume, even in the old city of Yerushalayim, they did not have the right to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that fell on Shabbos. However, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah is here on this Mishnah. I think in the back of the Gemara they should have the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah is here. You turn to the back of the Gemara, so you have, whatever, if you can find it, this is printed, I don't know, in all the Gemaras, but if you flip through enough, you'll find the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah is in the back, tells us that he has a different opinion of what the definition is of Medina. Says the Rambam, no, I don't believe that that's true. So the Rambam's words are as follows. The Rambam says, "Kishegazru shelo lesko b'Shabbos." When the Chachamim told us that you're not allowed to blow shofar for Shabbos because we're concerned, maybe Shemay Avi Renu, lo gazru ala b'makom she'ein bezdin. They only made that takana where there's no bezdin present to stop people from doing the wrong thing. Avol bezman shahaya beis hamikdash kayam. But when the beis hamikdash was around, v'haya bezdin agadol biyushalayim, and they had the bezdin agadol in the city of Yerushalayim. Hayu akol tokim Yerushalayim b'Shabbos, says the Rambam. Everybody used to blow shofar, not only in the Beis HaMikdash, but in the whole vicinity of Yerushalayim as well, because who's going to make a mistake when you have the Bezdin HaGadol there? Nobody's going to fall in and make a mistake there. Kol zman shebezdin yoshvim, as long as the Bezdin is in session, as long as the Bezdin is functioning, we assume the Bezdin is going to stop people from making the mistake. So again, there's a fundamental disagreement here. When you say the word Medina in our Mishnah, when you say you only blew shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the Medina, what does Medina mean? Rambam says, Yerushalayim is considered to be a part of the Beis HaMikdash. Medina is considered everything that's outside of Yerushalayim. Everything outside Yerushalayim, because that doesn't have the status of Beis HaMikdash. And this is where Rashi and the other Rishonim disagree. Rashi says, no, the Mishnah is to be taken at face value, very literally, that the distinction is drawn between Beis HaMikdash proper and anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash where they were not allowed to blow shofar. Now the Rambam throws in a caveat here. The Rambam says, well, the only time we have a problem of Shema Yavirenu is when there's no Bezdin. Why? Because if there's a Bezdin, so the Bezdin's going to make sure, like Bezdin's Rizimheim, Bezdin wouldn't make a mistake. So there's a very sharp question asked, if you assume that the Rambam is correct, that a Bezdin wouldn't make a mistake. So we have a Gemara in Beitza Daf Lamed Vav. This is also quoted in the Halach and Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Lamites and Arachayim, quoted again in Chosha Mishpat and Simen Hay, where it says that on Shabbos you're not allowed to have a Bezdin adjudicate a Din Torah. Why not? Says the Gemara, we're concerned, Gzeira, Shema Yichto, we're concerned, maybe they're going to listen to the court proceedings, they're going to listen to both sides, and then there's going to be the Sofer HaBezdin, which, how do you say that? He's the recording secretary, I guess. So he writes everything down, he keeps a record of everything that took place in all the different Moshav Bezdin that they had. So there he is, he's going to be sitting on the side, he's going to write everything down, and then he's going to be Mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, because we're concerned, someone's going to forget in the Bezdin and they're going to write on Shabbos, therefore you're not allowed to have a Din Torah on Shabbos. What do you mean? The Rambam just told us, when you have a Bezdin in the town, no one's going to do anything wrong. So how can you say, in the Bezdin itself, people are going to violate the Halacha, someone's going to be Mechal Shabbos? How can that be? If the Rambam says that any city that has a Bezdin like you, we shall lie in Bezdin our Gadol, you have nothing to be concerned about. For Shema Yavirena, maybe I'm going to take my own shofar outside. So certainly in the Bezdin itself, I'm not going to make a mistake. So this is a kasha that's asked in the Sefer Ara Derabbanan. Ara Derabbanan is a very fascinating Sefer. Many people don't learn it, but my father introduced it to me many years ago. It's a Sefer which basically discusses Many mitzvahs in the Torah, are they considered to be a mitzvah d'araisa or only a mitzvah d'rabbanan? And he brings proofs for many mitzvahs to figure out from all the sources what the status of the mitzvah is. Is it just a minig? Is it a din d'rabbanan, din d'araisa? Interesting, my father's kind of safer. So the Ara d'rabbanan discusses this kasha, and the Ara d'rabbanan says, well, maybe this whole halacha that the Rambam says that you don't have to worry about a bezin making a mistake, maybe that's only in a bezin agadol, like the famous big bezin in Yerushalayim, so then they could take responsibility for everyone around them as well. However, when you have a case of dinei mamonos, you have two people are getting in a fight about someone owes somebody else money, they're not sure. Who has to be the bezin on such a case? How many dayanim do you need? Three. What kind of dayanim are we allowed to choose? Any three people off the street can be a bezin. So says the Ara d'rabbanan, when you're talking about a regular bezin, that could be any three people who are pulled off the street. You can make them into a bezin for dinei mamonos. In that kind of case, you cannot rely on them that maybe they're not, maybe they're going to, that they would never forget and write on Shabbos. They're not considered to be such great Talmidei Chachamim. When you're talking about the bezin agadol in Yerushalayim, that's one thing. When you're talking about any three people, ad hoc bezin that you put together at last minute, that's not going to be a bezin that you can really assume is going to keep to all the Hilchos Shabbos, and therefore the Gzeirah came about that ain done in b'Shabbos because we're concerned maybe someone's going to be kosev, someone's going to violate the Yisr of Ksiva b'Shabbos. There's another answer that the Ara d'rabbanan gives, and this one's very surprising. He says, when the bezin is responsible for everybody else, so then they pay very close attention. Let's make sure nobody violates the halacha. Sometimes when a person is so involved himself, they don't even realize what's going on under their own auspices, in their own office, in the bezin, it can go unnoticed that somebody's being mechal Shabbos. If they see out the window that somebody's being mechal Shabbos in the street, and I think this is such a brilliant insight, he says that sometimes we're so busy looking to see, is everybody doing the right thing? And so often we forget to look in our own homes, are we really doing the right thing? So that's what he says over here as well. Even though we know the Bezin HaGadol was great Talmidei Chachamim, and we can rely upon them to make sure nobody in Yerushalayim would ever be Mechal Shabbos in their presence, but at the same time, you have to be concerned that maybe somebody in the Bezin itself, even in the Bezin HaGadol, maybe somebody in the room is not going to be noticed when they are going to be Mechal Shabbos. So this is a fascinating point, but again, it comes back to what exactly the definition here is of Medina and Mikdash. What do we assume? Do we assume that in Yerushalayim itself you're allowed to blow the shofar, or do we assume, no, only the Beis HaMikdash itself? Now there's a similar disagreement that comes up again in Masechah Sukkah. Also, Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam exactly how to determine what the Mishnah means to say. So there the Mishnah says, Barishona, originally the halacha was, the lulav was nitol b'migdash shiva, the real din d'araisa is to shake the lulav and esrog 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. Uve Medina yom echad. And outside the Beis HaMikdash, you only shake the lulav 1 day of Sukkot. Then later on, they were misakin that even outside the Beis HaMikdash, midrabbanan, we should shake lulav every day in order that we shouldn't forget about the original halacha the way it was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So over there again, Rashi comments that the line is drawn between Beis HaMikdash proper and the rest of the world. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you shake the lulav all 7 days. If you're in any other place in Eretz Yisrael, even in Yerushalayim, says Rashi, you're not going to shake lulav all 7 days. And the Rambam there disagrees once again. The Rambam there writes that that's not what the Mishnah means. The Rambam tells us that there, once again, when the Mishnah uses the word Medina, Medina means not only, Medina means every place outside of Yerushalayim, and when we say Mikdash, Mikdash refers to Beis HaMikdash and the surrounding area which was Yerushalayim. Now again, the Gilyonei HaShas, Rabbi Yosef Engel, has on our daf, he has what he believes is a raya. It's arguable, but he says there's a medrash, he quotes, he says, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, and he finally completed the building, Paschu Malachi Asharis V'Amru, the Malachi Asharis began to say, Baruch Atah Hashem Bonei Yerushalayim. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel, why were the Malachim singing, now that the Beis HaMikdash was complete, why did they say Bonei Yerushalayim? Why didn't they say Bonei HaMikdash? So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, you see from here that obviously Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash are interchangeable. I could have argued very easily that that's not what it means. It means that Yerushalayim is incomplete as long as there's no Beis HaMikdash there. So all, even though we captured Yerushalayim and we're living in Yerushalayim and we're enjoying Yerushalayim, that's not good enough. When do we say Bonei Yerushalayim with a full heart? When we have the real Yerushalayim, not with anything else in the way, and when we have a Beis HaMikdash there as it's supposed to be. So again, I don't know that Rabbi Yosef Engel's proof is so conclusive, but it's an interesting thought regardless. And I think that the Rambam here really goes l'shitaso, because the Rambam himself, in Ilchas Beis HaBechira, when he's talking about the halachas of a Beis HaMikdash, so the Rambam there contrasts, why is it that in my opinion, the Rambam says, the rest of Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedusha once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, once we left Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha left, whereas in Yerushalayim and the Makam HaMikdash, the Kedusha remained. So the Rambam says, Lama Omrim Migdash be Yerushalayim, Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Liyasa Lava. How come when it comes to Yerushalayim and the Makam HaMikdash, we assume it's holy even today, even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. However, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam feels, is not Kadosh, doesn't have any Kedusha once we're not there anymore. Says the Rambam, Lefi Shekedushas HaMikdash B'Yushalayim Mipnei HaShchina. The Rambam says, the Shechina is what was Mekadesh, not only the Beis HaMikdash per se, but Yerushalayim, the surrounding area as well. So the Rambam's feeling is that there is a intrinsic connection between the Beis HaMikdash proper and Yerushalayim that surrounds it, and therefore maybe that's why the Rambam feels here. There is reason to argue that the two are connected as well with regard to other halachos also. So this is basically the first issue that you have to think about. What exactly is the Mishnah saying? Does the Mishnah mean to say that they only blew shofar in the Beis HaMikdash or even in Yerushalayim? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. You had a question? That's what I want to talk about tonight. It's a little bit more of a history lesson tonight, but I think it's a very fascinating history. If you've never read about Rabbi Yosef Schlesinger and all the fights, and if you think that rabbinic politics is something new, this is something very old, and it goes back already many, many generations, but in the beginning of the 1900s was a very serious and fierce disagreement, and that's what I want to talk about. How does the issue begin? The issue begins not in the 1900s. The issue really begins in the times of the Rif. So the Rif was a great tzaddik. The Rif was one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. And the question was, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai makes a takana that in the end of our Mishnah it says that even though you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias b'Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, any city that has a Bezdin is allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos, like the Mishnah says. Right? Any city that has a Bezdin, either the Bezdin was in the Beis HaMikdash and that's what allowed them, or the Bezdin was Yerushalayim according to the Rambam. But either way, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that any city that has a Bezdin is allowed to go ahead and blow shofar even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because nobody in the city is going to make a mistake. You have great Talmid HaChacham living there, there's no room for error, nothing's going to go wrong. Oh, so that's the first problem. First problem is that it doesn't say what kind of Bezdin. I would have said, if I read the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai means, if you have a Bezdin like my Bezdin, and you have great Tanaim and Amoraim that are going to be sitting on the Bezdin, so then, fine, but Stam, you have a rabbi in a town that gets together with a few people twice a week to Don Dine Torah, that's not a real Bezdin, they don't run the city. But that's the first major question, that we don't know, what kind of Bezdin do you need? Do you need a Bezdin like the Bezdin HaGadol? Do you need a Bezdin of 23? Do you need a Bezdin of 72? Do you need a Bezdin just of three people? What exactly does that mean when we say that you need a Bezdin in order to allow yourself to blow shofar on Shabbos? Not only that, what kind of people are allowed to be counted as a Bezdin? Nowadays, we don't really have real smicha. We've lost the chain from Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're not really considered to be real mesmachim. So what does it mean? So does that mean now no city can have a status of a Bezdin? Or does it mean no? It means the leaders of the community, since they take responsibility for everything that goes on in that community, so we have nothing to worry about if there are people who are of stature in the community, and therefore there's nothing to be concerned about. So, this is a very unclear point, and the Rif weighs in on the issue. And the Rif says, no problem, all it means is any city that has a very simple, ordinary Bezdin, that's good enough to allow them to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. No need to get carried away, you don't need 72, you don't need 23. Any city that has a very pashut, a simple Bezdin, but people who take responsibility, that is good enough. And then the Rif writes, that I myself did this, because I am the Rif, and because everybody respects me, so therefore I don't see any reason why Rosh Hashanah, when falls out on Shabbos, I don't see any reason why in my community in Fez, that's where he lived in Morocco, the Rif says there's no reason for me not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. Now, that Rif, a very, very controversial Rif, and in fact the Rishonim commented on the Rif and said, there's a discrepancy amongst the Rishonim whether the Rif actually did it. The Talmidei HaRif argue about whether or not that story is ever true. So the Rush writes, I'm sorry, the Ritva says, we absolutely disagreed with him, it never happened, it's not true, and Rif lo asa maisa. Rif never did it. And other Rishonim say, we pleaded with him and we asked him, please, everyone's going to hate you, everyone's going to scream at you, don't do this, don't do this, not good. And he said, I don't get involved in politics. If it's the right thing, this is what I'm going to do. My father likes to say it over. The Rif was a man of principle. He felt if this is the right thing to do, this is what I'm going to do. And that's what he did. So that's the major question. What exactly happened? Did the Rif do it or did he not do it? The Baal HaMor has a lashon and he says, Zehu echad min ha-makomos ha-matmiim ha-nimtzam b'halachos. This is one of the strangest places that I found in all the Rif, that he claims that he would do such a thing, and meanwhile he would never do such a thing. It can't be. So this was a major discussion in the first place, whether or not it actually happened. And the Rush writes that even if the Rif himself did do it, all the Talmidei HaRif didn't listen to him. So when they were in positions of leadership on their own, they disregarded the psak of the Rebbe. They thought it was too outlandish, it was too mechudishtik, And therefore they said, we're not going to listen to him, and they chose not to blow the shofar when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. So that's interesting point number one, what exactly happened in the time of the roof. I have here that in the Cairo Gniza, there was a letter from 1162. Cairo Gniza was letters that were sent to the Jews in Yerushalayim. So it was the leaders of Bavel, the leaders of the community in Bavel in the 1100s, sent this letter to the community in Eretz Yisrael warning them that anyone who blows shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos is considered to be a Mechalel Shabbos. So obviously, the reason why they wrote the letter is because there was some concern that there were communities in Eretz Yisrael that were following the Pesach of the Rif. And they were obviously coming out very strongly against that. We found this letter in the Cairo Gniza, which is a very interesting piece of history. But it's not clear. There's no evidence that it actually ever happened. There's no documentation that anyone did it. All we have is this letter that says that they warned them not to. So it must be there was a rumbling about maybe somebody wanting to do it, but it's not clear if it actually ever happened. The whole story came up again in the beginning of the 1900s. So there was a great tzaddik by the name of Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger. Kiva Yosef Schlesinger was born, he was born in the 1800s. He moved to Yerushalayim in 1870. And in 1870, he moved to Yerushalayim. He was a Talmud of the... It's interesting. He claims that he was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, which is not really accurate either. He was 2 years old when the Chasam Sofer died. And the Chasam Sofer writes that he was the Sandik at the Briser of Akiva Yosef. So he was a young child when the Chasam Sofer died. He was 2 years old. So what does it mean he was a Talmud of his? It means he learned in the yeshiva of the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik was the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. And Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger learned by him. And he was so influenced by the way of thinking of the Chasam Sofer that he went ahead and called himself a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, even though he never had anything to do with him. So that's just a fascinating point as well. So it actually happens to be that it's famous of the Chasam Sofer that the Chasam Sofer fought a lot against Reform Judaism. That's what was on the rise at the time. And the Chasam Sofer, everybody always quotes him that he said, Chadash Hashem in HaTorah, you're not allowed to do anything new. Everything has to be the same old. That's a famous line that they say. The one who made it famous was Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger. Chasam Sofer wrote it somewhere, but Rabbi Kiva Yosef is the one who really popularized that idea, that theme, that the Chasam Sofer, that Chadash Hashem in HaTorah, we have to stick to the principle and do what it is. So he was a big kanoi. This Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger was a big kanoi. He had very big chidushim in many different areas of halacha. They printed now a Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger. My father has it at home, a very interesting sefer. But anyway, it came in 1871, the first year after he gets to Yerushalayim, and it happens to be he rented the apartment closest to the Kotel, the first apartment right next to the Kotel, and he writes that he opened the Beis Medrash there, and he writes in the Hakdama to his Tshuvas that he was proud to be the first one that ever had a Beis Medrash next to the Kotel since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's what he claimed. I don't know if he's right or not, but that's what he writes. He was very proud of that fact. And he was a big lover of Eretz Yisrael, even though he was an anti-Zionist, but he moved to Yerushalayim. What's funny is that now people say Rabbi Kiva Yosef was a big Zionist. He was the biggest anti-Zionist at the time. He just moved to Yerushalayim because he had Chibas Eretz Yisrael. He loved Eretz Yisrael. He hated the movement. So it's interesting how history gets rewritten. And now they put him together with all the others who were big Zionists who moved to Yerushalayim, but really he was not part of them. So anyway, so that year, the first year that he moved to Yerushalayim, he already caused trouble. And he sees that Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out on Shabbos. And he says, he's very excited. He wants that they should have blowing shofar in Yerushalayim on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos. So makes a whole tumult and everyone's talking about it. And the whole thing died down. So 1871 came and went and nothing happened. Then again in 1881, Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos again, 10 years later. And once again, Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger, who the president of his shul was actually the one who owned the printing press in Yerushalayim, so that put him at a very big advantage. So he printed a whole kuntris and had leaflets sent out to everyone about his position, why he felt they were allowed to, why they were allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos, and he had the Pashkevilim printed all over the place, and he had them hung up all over the walls. So everybody found out. They didn't know that the president of his shul happened to be the printing press, and that's why he was able to print all these things. So Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger makes a big deal again 10 years later, 1881. And once again, it seems that nothing really came of that. Nobody really knows what the story was, and it didn't really pick up steam. It just caused a big machlokas. Everyone was fighting with him. But nothing really happened. Then it happens again, a break of 2 years, 1904 and 1905. 2 years in a row, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Again, 2 years in a row, 1904, 1905. And now Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger says, that's it, I had it. I tried in 1871, I tried in 1881, and now this is my last chance. We have 2 years in a row, Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos. I'm not going to let this go by again. He decides he's going to blow shofar Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos. So he starts up the conversation again, and he presents a whole slew of reasons why he thinks it's mutter. Number one, he says that in the first place, the Rambam says you're allowed to blow shofar in Yerushalayim, not just in the Beis HaMikdash itself. That's what we mentioned before. So he argues that the Rambam means not only when you have a Beis HaMikdash or you're allowed to blow in the perimeter of Yerushalayim as well, but even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim is a special dispensation. Because we have a bezin there, you're allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos. That was one. And then he said again, because the whole concern is Shema Yavi Renu, maybe you're going to carry the shofar outside and violate the Yisra of Hotzah B'Shabbos. He said, Yerushalayim is a Rishus HaYachid. It's a gated city. It's not a Rishus HaRabim, so you can't really violate the Yisra of the Raisa anyway, so there's nothing to worry about. And he had a whole bunch of reasons why he felt that this was permissible. So, his idea was that we're going to get together all the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim. This way, it's not just going to be me, it's going to be everyone. We're going to get together in either the Churva Shul or in the Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai Shul, which I think is still around, right? So the Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai Shul was a very old shul, and he said, what better place than the Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai Shul? He's the one in our Mishnah that made the whole institution that we should blow shofar after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So therefore he said, we're going to get together, Svarim and Ashkenazim from across the spectrum. Everyone's going to come together. We're going to have a bezin of 23. This way, no one can argue that we had just a joke of a bezin. We're going to have 23 rabbanim, a big bezin, and we're going to go ahead and do it. And he said, Reb Shmuel Salant agreed with me. Reb Shmuel Salant at the time was the leader of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. He was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. And the Aderes, who was brought in as the assistant chief rabbi, which is, I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic, but it's a fascinating story there also. Reb Shmuel Salant was a very old man. I think I've said this before. And he realized that it's time to get an assistant rabbi. So he brings in the Aderes from, the Aderes was Reb Cook's father-in-law. The Aderes was the Abbezin in Panovich for 19 years. So he came to Yerushalayim. He was all excited. He's offered a position. So how could he turn it down? So he goes to Yerushalayim to be the assistant chief rabbi on the thought that one day Reb Shmuel Salant is no longer going to be able to serve as the chief rabbi. And he will take over. And as it turns out, the Aderes passed away before Reb Shmuel Salant. Reb Shmuel Salant lived to a very, very ripe old age. And therefore, he never ended up getting into the position. So that's a fascinating story in and of itself. But he claimed this Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger claimed that he went to Reb Shmuel Salant and that he went to the Aderes and all the other great Gedolim of the time. And everyone agreed with him and it was a great idea and that's what he was going to do. So that's what I want to read through tonight. That's what I want to go through. So you look at your sheet. You look at the sheet here. Let me just see. Where it says, Tkiya Shofar B'Shabbos Mizman Hazeh. You have that? Where it says, Ayin Hay on the top? So I put this together because I would imagine nobody would ever find the Torah journals from 1904 called Tel Talpios, right? I assume nobody's going to go look for them in the library, so it's much easier just to have it here. So I think it's a fascinating piece of history. So let's see what he says. Where the number Yud Aleph, you see? Everyone has it? So Shmuel Shonas Mishalchos B'Yerushalayim. There's a lot of different versions of the story. Al Haskamasam Shareb Shmuel Salant Reb Elio David Rabinowitz Te'umim. There are many different versions of the story. Did Reb Shmuel Salant and the Aderes really agree to this idea? Were they really behind it? L'skoa B'Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos? Yesh Gam Shmuel Hakchasha B'Nogea L'Haskamas Hagon Reb Shmuel Salant. There are those who not only question, but there are those who say he absolutely was opposed to it. Not only did he not give a haskama, he was very upset about it. Shuv Mosim, there are those who say, Sh'Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger lo histapik b'taluma b'lvad l'tkiya shofar b'Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos. There are those who claim and who argue that Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger didn't just make a big tumult about this, he didn't just want to do it, but gam asa maisa, he actually did it, and he blew the shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos in 1904. Uve'echam ibatei haknesios haktanim shebeir hatikan in one of the small cities, the Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai Shul in Yerushalayim, obebeisor in his house, takalot kios. Some claim that he didn't just make the tumult, he actually went ahead and he did it in the end. Yeshka mosifim, he says, some argue that there's another wrinkle to the story, and that is hagon ha'aderes, that the aderes kedeshalo la'or neged atzmo rash hakanoim. Look, the aderes was afraid. They were always kanoim in Yerushalayim. It's not a new phenomenon. So he was concerned that if I'm going to go and participate in the Tzkiya Shofar on Shabbos, they're going to come after me. They're going to smash my windows. You know, like Rabban Leib Steinman, you know? When he supported Nachal Haredi, they smashed the windows of his house. An amazing thing. I don't know. Interesting way of getting things done. So over here also it says that the Aderes was nervous that this was going to happen to him. So lo bam bupumbi lo samakam, the Aderes says, look, it's pikuach nefesh, they're going to kill me. So I can't go and participate, but on the other hand, how can I be mevatel the mitzvah of shofar if I agree that maybe it's the right thing to do. So it says, Yasha Becheder Samachlo, the Adera sat the whole Rosh Hashanah in a house right next door to the shul, so that he'd be able to hear through the window the Tkiyah Shofar that was being done. Sounds like also very interesting. Is that really true? Did he sit there? Did he not? What? Yeah, so that's what he did. So he claims that some claim that the Aderis himself couldn't participate publicly, but he just happened to have found himself in the vicinity and listened to the Tkiyah Shofar in order that he shouldn't be Mevatel the Mitzvah. This is in the Sefer Bishvile Halacha. I'll tell you in a minute. Bishuras Habos Navi Truma Ktana LaHavaris in Yinze. This is a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. Remember in the beginning of the year I raised money for a Sefer? So this is in one of his Sfarim. This man has the most amazing Sfarim in the world. Absolutely amazing. If you ever have to give Meiser money, he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham who has no money to his name. Shouldn't be on the recording. But he's a really, really special person who writes incredible Svarim. He's actually coming out with a new Sefer in a few weeks that was also sponsored by people here. Really amazing Svarim. So let's see. Bishuras Habos Navi Truma Ketana La'avharas Inyan Zeh. We're going to collect a little bit about the whole background of the story. V'im Kishuras Eile Lukuchos Midivir Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger Atzmo. He says, I'm not saying any chidushim on my own. I'm just taking different snippets from Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger's writing. Hari Nidfusu Advarim Bi'iton Nechbad Tel Talpios, he said, everything's written in this Torah journal. Shahaya Matzi Bidei Rabbanim Yerushalayim Chachameh, he says, everyone in Yerushalayim had a copy of this thing, everybody was aware. Skip down to the next paragraph. Okay. Hagon Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin. Reb Zevin, the famous Reb Zevin, B'ma'amaro HaMematzeh B'muvana El-Chati Al Yomtev HaRishon Shal Rosh Hashanah Shecholiyos B'Shabbos. So he says, Reb Zevin has a whole piece about Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos. Kotev, so he writes as follows, and this is a direct quotation. This story about Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos and whether we're allowed to blow the shofar in Yerushalayim, this was already an issue from the times of the Rif, as we mentioned in Fez. So it died down for a couple of hundred years. Now all of a sudden Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger shows up on the scene, 1870, and he makes a whole explosion, and everybody's going crazy about it. Vishnos Tafresh Samachay V'Tafresh Samachvav. So here Rabbi Zevin writes, the tumult happened in 1904, 1905. So he points out it's not true. It happened already in 1871 and in 1881. It only became a real tumult in 1904 and 1905, but he already tried before. Behen Chalurut Sufa Shana Achar Shana. Then in 1904, 1905, you had one year after the next, Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. V'tamon Chacham Gadol Takif B'daito Baal Meretz. There was a big kanoi by the name of Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger. Asa Ta'aluma Gadol Litko B'Yerushalayim B'Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. He decided we're going to make a big fight, and we're going to go and make sure that this year we're going to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholiyos B'Shabbos V'Ulam. Einar Rab Zevin Mazkir Klal, he says, by the way, Rab Zevin didn't mention that already earlier on in 1881 there was the issue. Shagam B'Shana Ahi Chal Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbos. Ha'isa Yisorus Gadol L'Tkiya Shofar B'Shabbos V'al Yisorus Zu V'al Bira Halacha B'Zman Ahu M'Vaseis Rabbi Kivi Yosef Es Marbis Devarav. This was already an issue before. Rabbi Kivi Yosef is just regenerating everything that was discussed years earlier. So Rab Zevin also quotes all these sources, and he says this was a psak asher hutza b'shnas tafrei membeis of gedolei Yisrael. This was the psak given in the presence of all the great gedolim of the generation in the tkav b'shabbos b'yushalayim ira tika b'beis hakneses miyuchad b'vad kol batei dinim hakvum b'rabanim umakam hamasuga lazeh hayoser nachon ka'es b'beis hakneses b'yachanam zaka. What greater place to do this than in the shul, named after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shmo na'elo kitikno. Okay, very nice. V'alasara zuhu mosev. And then he adds on also, kasher higia lemaisa, when it actually happened. V'azman ha'yabol samach l'Rosh Hashanah. And now, they were Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, everyone's trying to figure out, after all the fighting, are we going to participate or not? Nigmar min hagon ha'godol avbezin de brisk. They found out from the Ma'aril Diskin, who was the avbezin in brisk, but lived in Yerushalayim later in his life. Lasos Asifa Rabba Bebeis Midrash Razos, that the Ma'aril Diskin decided to gather everybody in. Look, let's stop fighting, let's discuss it, let's figure out what are we going to do. Gam Hagon Rishon Letzion Mechachmei Svarad, the Svaradi chief rabbi also got together. Amru Lava L'Sham, everybody said we're going to convene, 1904, we're going to decide one universal psak that's going to be binding on all of us. Either we're all participating or no one's participating. Ladin Alav L'Maisa, the Ma'aril Diskin, called this meeting. He invited all the Ashkenazim, all the Svaradim to attend the meeting. V'shuv nizbat la'asifa. And last minute, the whole thing got canceled. Me'ez atam nizbat la'adavar la'retz la'galos. The Ma'aril Diskin didn't want to say why the meeting was canceled. What happened? Did the Kanan get involved? Did somebody not want to show up? What happened?
V'yitzarti bo, and I tried to convince him. Eza sod ba'alacha, I tried to convince him. What happened? Why did you cancel the meeting on me? I thought we were going to get everyone together. And he says, Torah yivalumen ani tzarech. I want to learn Torah. I want to understand why you have an objection to this and why the meeting was canceled. Acharei hatzara rabba. Go to the bottom half of the page on the left side. Acharei hatzara rabba. After a lot of trying to convince him, Amarli hatam, he finally told me the reason. Mipnei ki ein lanu bezin kabua kalach. He said, "Wow, what are you talking about? The only time you're allowed to do tzkiyah shofar is when you have a bezdin and everybody recognizes this is the address for every problem that we have. We don't have that nowadays. You're the rabbi of this shul, and he's the rabbi of the other shul, and this is the chief rabbi of here and there. You're not all one unified voice, and therefore they didn't like this idea that we should reinstitute this tzkiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos." One of the other great personalities at the time was the famous Stechemet. Chizkiyo Chaim Medini was the Stechemet, and he also seemingly weighed in on the issue. So let's see. His tamchuso shor Rekiva Yosef al haskamas agon Reb Chizkiyo Medini balo Stechemet. Rabbi Kiva Yosef claimed that he took counsel with the Stechemet about the issue as well. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Stechemet lived in Hebron. And he talks Shuvasa Shal Rishon Letzion to Rabbi Kiva Yosef. Let's see. Sheyesh Tzorech Leimalech Imbala Stechemet. The Sfardi chief rabbi told Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger, when he reached out to him to discuss the issue, he told him, "I want you to go and discuss it with the Stechemet. If the Stechemet says it's fine, then it's fine with me." Umitoch Haskamusa Shal Rishon Letzion Acha Shavua Yamim. And after a week, the chief rabbi, the Sfardi chief rabbi, wrote back to Rabbi Kiva Yosef, and he said, "Im Ashkenazim yitku b'beis haknesses shalahem, if you Ashkenazim will come up and say that you're going to blow shofar, yitku asmardim b'beis haknesses shalahem, we're going to do the same thing, because we're all going to follow one universal pshak." So it would seem that the Stechemet obviously must have agreed to this, because if the Rishon Letzion told him, take advice with the Stechem and ask him what to do, whatever he says is what I'm going to do, so obviously it must be, after a week, if they wrote that the Spartan are going to follow the Ashkenazim, it means obviously the Stechem had agreed. Next paragraph. So here we go. Ve'el ha'divar Rabbi Kiva Yosef, b'dvar histamchusem shoshloshes ga'onim hagon Reb Shmuel Salant. What was the opinion of Reb Shmuel Salant, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim? The Aderes, who was the assistant chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, and the Stechem, those were the three big Gedolim alive at the time. What did they have to say about the issue? So here he goes. This is Rabbi Kiva Yosef himself writing over the story as he saw it. Now again, it's a one side of a story. You'll see in a few minutes the other side of the story, which seemed to deny a lot of the facts. I don't know whose writer is wrong. I just think this is a really amusing period in history. So here, writes Rabbi Kiva Yosef, Kasher higia chodesh elul ha'avar. Last chodesh elul lakachti ha'nichta b'ksav yad. I took all of my pashkilim and all of my pamphlets. I knocked on the Aderes' door. I said, "Hey, what are we doing? What are we doing about Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos? Here's all the literature. Here's everything we wrote. What do you say?" And I left everything there on his desk. I wanted him to look into it very carefully. Finally, after he had a chance to read everything over, I built up the courage and I said, "Nu, what do you say?" Lo daisha yamaskim, says Rabbi Kiyosin. Not only was he in favor of what I said, that we should blow shofar this year in Yerushalayim, Odaya Maliv Ha'inyan, he was so fired up, and he said, "How come nobody's going along with this?" And the Aderes decided we got to take on this fight. Now again, this is what Rabbi Kiva Yosef is claiming that the Aderes said. There are others who seem not to be so convinced, but this is what he says. V'acharei sh'ra'isi shehu maluav b'ha'inyan yoser mimeni, after I saw that he was more excited about this than I was, herchapti nafshi lomar, I said to myself, "Hey, krayna de igrisa hila havi parvanka." That's a phrase that the Gemara uses, which means, if I'm the one that got this rolling, I better continue it. I'm the one who has the schus to get this going. All I'm missing now is, I already have the Aderes on board, now I got to get the Sfardi chief rabbi on board. Nikach merkabel in soi love. He asked the Aderes, "Why don't you come and take a ride with me, a horse and buggy, why don't we take a ride to the Sfardi chief rabbi, of Elise Safek, and without a doubt, ki yisa panav litein rishus letkob beis haknesses shereb yachanam et zaka yukataka naso. The Sfardi chief rabbi, when he sees that I walk into the room with the Aderes, there's no way he's going to deny us the opportunity to blow the shofar this year. He's going to have so much respect for the Aderes. The heish of the Aderes responds to him, either it was true or it wasn't true, but this is what he told him. Merutza hay lakach, he says, "Yeah, it's a nice idea. Ach eina bekav habriya. What can I do? I don't feel well. I'm an old man. I can't get in the horse and buggy. I'm going to go travel to this Sfardi chief rabbi. I don't have the time for this." So he tells him, "Ki im zos yase l'shlof b'no." He says, I'm going to send my son. Bimakomo imo, I want you to go with my son in my stead. Levakesh alzos bishmar, I want you to ask the Sephardi chief rabbi in my name, in the Adaris' name. And Rabbi Kivi Yosef writes, v'nasanu ani v'hu, we got a taxi, a horse and buggy, and we went to the Rishon LeZion. V'chasna harayved ha-kohen sheyichya, who's that? Rav Kook. Chasna harayved ha-kohen sheyichya. The Avvezdin, Rav Kook, the Kohen, is the one who came along with Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger to talk to the Rishon LeZion. Shehu dayna mi-bezdin ha-sfardim v'chasidim v'kibanu harayved Rishon LeZion v'chal osas ha-kavod. When we walked in the room, he had so much respect for us. And we discussed, we laid out the whole issue. Do we have permission this year to blow shofar or not? And there was a Talmud Chacham sitting there in front of the Sephardi chief rabbi who read to him all the articles and all the things, and we were talking about it. Skip down a line after that. He said, look, sounds like a nice idea, but I need someone else to sign on. It's not good enough. I can't take this on my own. He says, I want you to go and discuss it with the Stechemet, who was the Abbezdin in Hebron. Okay? So far you have Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger is together with Rav Kook, and the two of them go to the Sephardi chief rabbi. They claim that the Aderes was all for it. Sephardi chief rabbi says, this is too big of an issue for me. Go to the Stechemet. If he says yes, it's fine with me. Is this of interest to anybody? Or should we just go back to the Gemara? I think this is very fascinating. What? He says, we're going to talk about it for 8 days. You discuss it with the Stechemed. I'll discuss it with my people. In another 8 days, Yitin Lanu Tshuva Brua. He's going to give us a clear answer. Kasher Nishmale Shavuazos. After this week was over, Nasana Lagon Rishon Letzion Bishvil Tshuvaso. I got in the taxi again with Rav Kook, and we went to go ask the Rishon Letzion, knew what he say? A week is up. He said back as follows, if you guys are going to decide that this is what you're going to do, then the Sfarim will do the same thing. But if you're not going to, lo, we can't do it either. You can't have a divided Yerushalayim. Either we're going to all do it, or none of us are going to do it. Fine. He said, and he too told us that he took counsel with the Aderis, and the Aderis also was all for this. Amnam, he told us that Agon Reb Shmuel Salant hayu menaged harbi. He said that the Aderis' boss, Reb Shmuel Salant, was very opposed. So what do you mean? So Reb Kivi Yosef turns around and he says, I spoke to Reb Shmuel Salant. He told me it was fine. So I'm telling you, growing up in my father's house, I see how this happens. And mamish, I see how it happens. It happens every day. One person comes and presents a story one way. My father says, yeah, of course. Next person comes, presents a story a slightly different way. And my father says, yeah, of course, to him. And each one says, what do you mean? But Shechta told me. Answer is, he didn't tell any of you. You didn't tell him the full story. So what exactly Reb Shmuel Salant said? Well, it depends how you present the story. It depends what you tell him. If you don't present all the facts, he'll say one answer. If you don't present all the facts in the other direction, he'll say something else. So now there was a lot of uncomfortable feelings because Rabbi Kivi Yosef is coming along with Rav Kook and saying that Rav Kook's father-in-law, the Aderis, is all for this, and the Stechemet is all for it. And now all of a sudden they're throwing on him that Reb Shmuel Salant, who they were relying upon in the first place, was against them. Amarti, he says, Yavar Alayma, he says, look, they want to do a smearing campaign against me. They want to claim that I made up stories about Reb Shmuel Salant. He did say, he didn't say, you know what, Ani Esel Agon Reb Shmuel Salant, I'm going to ask him myself again. Lishol Espiv, Lama Menaged Lezeharbe. I'm going to go discuss it with him. What are they telling me, that he doesn't like it? Let me go have an open conversation with him myself. Now, Sati Elav, he says, I traveled to him, Imod Imo, I went along with somebody else. V'kasher nichnasu bebeisa, when we went into the house, v'siparti lo kalanal, and we told him the whole story, v'al kinemar b'shmoshu menaged harbe, we told him, look, we were in the house of the chief rabbi, the Sephardi chief rabbi. He told us that you're opposed to this. Alkein basi lishalama. Kivi Yosef says, therefore I came to ask you, what's the story? V'heishiv, he says, shaloshama me'inyin zeh ad ataklum. I don't know what you're talking about. No one ever came to speak to me about the whole thing. Other rabbi, he says, Bishnas Tafresh Membeis, many years ago, in 1880s, Kasher Haya Hamaduba Liskaber Rosh Hashanah, when we already started this discussion way before you were around, Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger, that's basically what he's telling him. Ki Haya Az Mitzapa Lelech Lishmat Ki HaShofar. I'm sorry, where is it? Kasher Haya Maduber Liskaber Rosh Hashanah Haya Az Mitzapa Lelech Lishmat Ki HaShofar. Ze Chalila V'chas. Ach Lazer Lozela Yachol Ki Hu Atzer Amito Kanoda. So now Rav Shmuel Salant wiggles himself out of it. And he says, look, don't you know I have an assistant rabbi? Don't you see I'm 90 years old? The reason why I brought the Adaris is because I don't have patience for this stuff anymore. I can't deal with politics. I don't know how to do this anymore. Leave me out of the story. You guys figure it out on your own. Basically, the way he leaves the story. So he was stuck. Let's keep reading. Akiva Yosef Choser Madgish Kame Pamim Es Haskamusam Shalgoni Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva Yosef is arguing, no, everybody's behind me. Binogei Lagon Haderus Hu Kosef. He says, the Haderus' feeling was, Hayim Lo Kedai Lanu Lismoch Al Haraosav. Oso Hagon Haderus Atzal Bulvad. Why do I even need anybody else? If the Haderus is all for it, the Haderus is good enough. Now, why is the Haderus good enough? Listen what he argues. Hare Kulam Ochle Basar Hayu. Everyone in Yerushalayim is eating meat. Who gives the hashgacha on the meat? The Haderus. He's the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He's the one who's responsible for the hashgacha. So if you trust him for the hashgacha, and they all eat it. Al samchus oso gon shahaya rosh lahoris batvachaya. He's the one who's in charge of all the slaughterhouses. He's the one who's in charge of all the hashgachas. And you go to him lahoris lahatir eshes ish le'alma. When you have a shayla and aguna, no problem going to the Haderus. You have a shayla on a chicken, no problem going to the Haderus. Whenever you have a shayla on a couple getting divorced and you need someone to write the get, you go to the Haderus. All of a sudden, when it comes to blowing shofar on Shabbos, you're not going to listen to the Haderus. So Rabbi Akiva Yosef is beside himself. What's going on here? First of all, they're making up stories, what Rabbi Shmuel Salant said, what this one said, what anyone said. Second of all, I have the Haderus on my side. What more do I need? So he's very upset. He's very upset about this. Now, you go to the next paragraph, Tamei Amis Nagdim. So what do those against him say? He says, I wouldn't be giving you a full and complete picture unless I also have to present the other side of the argument. Why were there those who were opposed? They tried to crumble the house, they tried to destroy the whole idea. And Rabbi Akiva Yosef himself points out that it seemed to him that people were trying to oppose to what he was doing, and they were trying to set him up. So this was a very difficult period of history, because there was so much fighting about this issue. Go to the next paragraph. Tshuva on Yenis, he says it was an interesting tshuva, and it was written by this Rabbi Shlomo Leib Eisenbach. Not sure who he is. He says he was Mechachma Yerushalayim, and he printed in the same Torah journal, and he says that it's not so clear that we're allowed to do this, and after all, who said we really have a Bezdin, and who said that all the Gedolim were really for it, who said they were really into it, whatever, you read the rest of the paragraph, we're out of time now, but you read the rest of these two paragraphs here, you see that there was a lot of discrepancy about whether or not this was permissible or not, but I think it's just a fascinating period in history, it's a fascinating story. They say that Shmuel Salant, actually, in those 2 years, when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos 2 years in a row, 1904, 1905, they say Rabbi Shmuel Salant said to himself, if I don't hear, I'm so old, if I don't hear Tkiyah Shofar this year, I'm going to miss it. I'm never going to hear it again for the rest of my life. Because he said, well, you know, I'm not going to be alive next year. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel Salant said, even if I'm opposed and I don't want to get involved in the politics and whatever, I'm going to go listen, also like they say from the Haderus. They say Rabbi Shmuel Salant did the same thing. He listened from next to the shul, because he said, otherwise, I'm not going to be able to ever hear shofar again, and be it as it may, he passed away in 1905. So it really was his last Rosh Hashanah. So whether or not he went, I don't know, but that's what they claim that he said. So this is something that I think is an important period in history to be aware of, but it's all based on our Gemara and the interpretation of the Rambam about whether or not we assume that the heter that we have to blow the shofar is only in the Beis HaMikdash because Kohanim's reason, and we have nothing to be concerned about, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Or is it because even outside the Beis HaMikdash, if there's a Bezdin, you have nothing to be concerned about because the Bezdin are his reason. The Bezdin is going to make sure that no one violates an Isser. And therefore the discussion, the conversation got going once again in Yerushalayim, where they did seemingly have a Bezdin. They did have great Talmidei Chacham. Should we allow that the shofar should be allowed to be blown on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos in Yerushalayim even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? So, Amir Tzeshem, next.